Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We're going to take Tony Knopp and move him to tomorrow's show.
Does Tony know that?
That segment. Yes, Tony is well aware. Tony is on board. And I think that I love that segment. Part of that segment is it has destroyed your view in the fantasy world of sports. I mean, there's actual money that changes hands among people. It's something you don't like that. It makes you very uncomfortable. It's very much outside your comfort zone. So Tony will be on tomorrow's show. Also, Adam Bittner, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, on tomorrow's show. Adam Rittenberg is going to be on Thursday, and Guy Cipriano on the PGA Championship on Thursday as well. Since the PGA gets underway, we'll have Guy on the show to talk about that. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on Friday.
You got to ask him about that kicker choice.
Yeah, I will. It's okay. I don't get paid enough to add therapist to my title here on the show. You panic about a lot of things. Next week, Paul Page, Sage Karam. With the race in Pocono coming up. And I'll throw this out there. We are trying to do a show from the Little League World Series, but we still have hurdles to clear. I don't know why.
It's complicated now.
Okay. We're offering you free publicity.
I think it's a little more complicated than it used to be with the four-letter network being there a lot.
I don't care whether they're there or not. You still need local people to go.
That's very true.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you can four-letter network it all you want. Okay? They're not going from Nevada to go to to Williamsport. All right? The people here are the ones that go to Williamsport and buy the hot dogs, buy the peanuts, buy the sodas, and the souvenirs and the buttons and the things like that. That's who goes. Besides, of course, the families of the teams.
You'd be surprised how many people come up on Championship Sunday and even on Saturday.
Yeah, but Kev,
for the
but Kevin,
no, I mean they come up early in the morning. It amazes
it's a 2 week
me.
It's a 2 week event. Okay, the stands are filled in a 2 week event because the people here.
Oh no, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I was amazed at how many people come up for that one day. And drive from Virginia, North Carolina, leave early in the morning, and then drive back home even.
Look, we did a show from the Super Bowl that was easier than this.
There's less clearances for the Super Bowl, I think, than Little League.
Okay. U.S. Open. Okay. U.S. Open Golf Championship. We did it Marion. All right. Penn State football in Lash Building. All were easier to accomplish than the Little League World Series. And I'll be frank with you, that's embarrassing. You want it said in plain English? I'll tell you in plain English. Why is it the National Golf Championship, a football program with 107,000 and the Super Bowl have been easier for us to negotiate?
Well, in all fairness, I'm not sure what the holdup is at this point. So I don't know exactly what might be the issue.
then my advice to the good people in Williamsport would boil down to three words. Find a gear. Okay, so, okay. This show has gone how many places? Let's go to the Big Ten basketball chip. We're in.
We've had them on the show several times.
Oh, I love having them on the show, and we'll have them on the show again. I just thought it would be fun for us to do a show there. Like, to go there and take the show there for a day. Now, is it going to make or break the show to go there? No. Will it help them? Yes. So, you know.
It has not been ruled out yet. It has not been ruled out yet.
But to be frank with you, something I thought would be simple, right? And it was just a simple, fun suggestion. It was only one of those, okay, what do we need to do to make the show better? Let's go to the Little League World Series. No, that wasn't the thought process. Thought process was, here's a great event, not a good event, but a great event in our own backyard. So let's go to it. We go to Pocono, in. U.S. Open, Marion, in. U.S. Women's Open, Lancaster, in. Super Bowl, in. Let's do a day at Lash Building, in. Let's go and do something at the Big Ten Tournament, in. Am I inaccurate on any of those?
Maybe they did something in my background check that I wasn't aware of. I mean, I've cleared background checks before, but
yes,
maybe but it's me. You know, maybe it's me. I don't know. I've cleared those background checks before.
Never thought of it that way. Maybe we've come up with something.
We might be finding the delay here. I don't know. I swear I just did this a month ago and it came back clean.
Hey, we just need an electrical outlet. Okay. All we need is an electrical outlet. We'll take care of the rest. You don't have to do anything too different here. We're not going to do the games. We're not going to, you know, we just want to let you know, everybody know that, hey, it's going on and we're here. It's
I like did ask for the... a hat, though. Maybe that holds it up, too.
Oh, and probably 18 pins.
No. I'm not the pin collector in our house.
I don't see the lure of that at all, but that's all right.
You know, I used to collect them, and it was fun, and I've always talked about having a couple made just to hand out. But
and then you became 10.
No, it's kind of like collecting. It's like collecting baseball cards. It's become, how intricate can the pin be? Is there movement in the pin? There was one pin years ago. The most pop. Actually, I still have it, and it trades very, very well because it's very popular. Yet, it was the sponsor's vehicle of the Little League World Series that year, and it was a hatchback on the vehicle. You had the back end of the pin car, and the hatch actually opened up on the pin.
Let's take a break.
SpongeBob also does very well at the Little League World Series.
You signed a dome kicker. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The record was broken. Sunbury Motors broke their 100-year July sales record.
And we'll do it again in August.
Do it again in August.
SMC will sell over 83 new Fords by August 30th.
SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Escape for $21,740.
SMC is where you want to be
if you want a new Focus for $16,860.
SMC is where you want to be
if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under $30,000.
Sunbury Motors isn't taking this
record lately.
If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to get to Sunbury Motors before September 1st. If you want 0% for 72 months on a Focus, Fiesta, Explorer, or Expedition,
SMC is where you want to be.
Sunbury Motors will sell over 83 new Fords by August 30th. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. SMC is where you need to be
to save more money on your next new Ford.
Well, I know you're trying to be, but
that was last year's.
Working for you.
That was the music they used in last year's Little League World Series.
Okay, that's nice. Oh. Hey, by the way, what is the state of American swimming if a 90-year-old guy keeps winning all the events?
What?
Phelps.
He's not 90. He's good.
He can't find anybody better.
Is he breaking records?
I don't know. I just know he's been winning. Now, to make it realistic, did they fill the pool with sludge?
No, they did not fill the pool with sludge.
That's the big issue down there, isn't it? A little water purity issue down in Rio. You know what was really cool while you're away? Boston pulled out.
Yes, I really appreciate you making sure I knew of that via text and then laughing via text as well.
I told you when. When did I tell you?
I know.
Okay? I said it was never going to work and they'd pull out. No, no, they won't pull out. It's an honor to host the Olympics. No, it's not an honor to buy a huge toilet and flush cash.
Daniel's like, who was the text from? I said, Mr. Jones. Well, what did he want? I said, he was telling me about how the Olympics aren't coming to Boston. He goes, and he was laughing, wasn't he? Yes, he was.
Kevin, it makes no sense for any city to bid for the Olympics.
No tax money should be spent to host the Olympics. What I don't understand, and I think I may have even texted this to you when we were messaging back and forth about it, I don't understand how the Boston Olympic Committee can come up with a profit number that they did and still ask for tax money. I mean, at worst, your Olympics should break even. But in an era of corporate sponsorship, you can't find the money elsewhere and you have to use tax dollars for all of this?
Yeah, you do. Because you have to build all these things. It is not as if you fly into a city and say, hey, great, we have a velodrome. We're all set. That doesn't exist. You have to start from scratch. You have to build an Olympic stadium from scratch. You have to build a velodrome from scratch. You have to build a BMX area from scratch. There's all sorts of things that you have to do from scratch that require funding.
And I
to
get
take
that.
Care of.
I get that, Steve, but for years they didn't do that. They've had these for a century and they used whatever they had available. Do we need to start getting back to that now?
No, they didn't, Kevin.
They didn't have a velodrome when they first started these.
Yeah, I understand that, but people took a financial bath on the Olympics every time they hosted it until 1984. When Peter Ueberroth put together the corporate sponsorship package that people criticized initially and said, oh my goodness, wow, this is the way to go. Let's take Sochi, for example. The Russian government just poured millions and millions into that to put on the national show. The Russian economy is a mess. It's a mess. Oil went from $107 a barrel down to $47. The Russian economy, right? You talk about gross domestic product, was minus 3 in the first quarter and minus 4 in the second quarter. And a big part of it is because they're, you know, which means they're beyond recession. And part of it is the price of oil has killed them. They're down, when you're down $60 a barrel on oil, and that's one of your primary exports, it's not happening for you. And they didn't care about how much money they spent on Sochi. They were going to use that as a platform to get people to go to Russia and spend money. Well, that's not how it works here. It works here by having Mitt Romney come in and saving the Olympics in 2002 in Salt Lake City because he was able to change the corporate partner structure and what Peter Ueberroth did in 1984. Other places take financial baths. Just because someplace else is stupid, and yes, I don't use that word lightly, just because other individuals are stupid, right? You know, and Putin, I mean, I would not ask him, I doubt he's being asked to, Putin's asked to bring the potato salad to the Mensa picnic, okay? And if you're going to be dumb and flush money down the drain like that, that's not how it's supposed to operate. If the Olympic Games want to exist, build a site and maintain it and ask countries around the world, to, USOCs, London Olympic committees, things like that, and have them put in funding to maintain facilities for winter and summer. Pick a spot and do it. That's the only way to do it now. Traveling this circus around the world, I believe that the 2022 Winter Olympics are going to go to Beijing. Is that correct?
2022. I don't know about that. Let me look it up because I'm not positive on that one.
And I believe they were the only bidder.
That would be the 2022 would be a Winter Olympics. Yes,
that's my point.
Yes, that is yes. You are correct. It is Beijing.
And my understanding is they were the only bidder.
Let's see. The bidding was Kazakhstan was the other bidder.
Repeating once again, they were the only bidder.
Well, it was a close one, though, because China got 44 votes and Kazakhstan got 40.
But, again, what is Kazakhstan's major export?
Oil?
Yes. They don't have the money. Their economy's in the tank.
Well, it is right now, that's for sure.
And China doesn't have the money either, but as a government, as a centrist government, communist, dictatorial, again, this is going to be their winter showcase. Come here. Come on. Don't look over there. I'd like to go over and see that. No, we'll take you to the airport 10 minutes. Okay. Great. Fabulous. Great system you got here.
Originally, it was in July of 2014. It was Oslo, Almaty. I believe it's pronounced Almaty. I'm not sure. In Kazakhstan and Beijing were the final cities, and Oslo withdrew their bid in October, leaving just the two for the 2022 Winter Olympics.
Again, but they came down to two bidders, and neither one. Okay, again, China's economy is struggling right now after appearing on the surface to go great guns. China's stock market has really hit the skids in the last 6 months. Kazakhstan, major export is oil. Oil is down under $50 a barrel right now after being over 100. I read more than you think. You guys just think I read about Penn State football. No. See, the DraftKings yesterday stunned you. You were shocked.
I was shocked about DraftKings, yes. Well, you know what? Listen to this, though, Steve. Look at the future games. Now, it's all set now through winter of 2022.
And we're out of time.
But I think this goes to what you're saying. Look at where everything is leaning. We talk about how the population in the Far East is outweighing everything else, and the popularity of the Olympics is really there, which is why we're starting to see the possibility of some of these what we think are unusual sports coming into the Olympics. Pyongyang in 2018, Tokyo in the summer of 2020, Beijing in the winter of 2022.
Yeah, but what do they all have in common? They all have a common groups that don't care about losing money.
Well, that's also a very good point.
They all have in common that not one of them gives a darn. Look, this is what we're going to have Tony Knapp on the show tomorrow. Okay? This is a business, Kevin. It's a business. And it's got to be treated like a business. It is not a, hey, it's a sports festival. It's not a sports festival. It's a business that is being done in such a way we're going to make a business, but it's a sports festival. It's not, oh, the world comes together. You know, I'm not in the Dick Ebersol meetings where it's all kumbaya. It is a reality to it.
Sports.
I mean, okay, that's not what this is. Okay, they're all, look, the communist countries, Russia, I don't care what you say, Russia's still communist, China, they're using this as platforms to showcase themselves to the world. And they don't care how much money they spend. I don't want the Olympics here unless they are, as you correctly put it, I completely agree with your point, that they're no worse than break even. A taxpayer dime should not go into a 2-week track meet.
My next hope for a Summer Olympics that I can drive to, or an Olympics that I can drive to, 2024 in Pittsburgh. They've talked to them.
I'll tell you right now, if they put it on the ballot in Pennsylvania and they talk about taxpayer money, I will vote no and lead the charge.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Tell me that wasn't part of the raucous open line.
As I remember, we had a state representative in when that question popped up.
Okay, let's move on. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's driving another great vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we're featuring the Hyundai Tucson. The 2015 Tucson has a lot of great features available, but the Limited also will bring you the rear view backup camera. You'll also have cruise lighting sets that are LED and also can be switched to automatic, so you don't have to worry about, you know, turning them on and off. They'll do that automatically for you. Fog lights are also available, and the Limited has those fog lights, LED fog lights available to help you see when it's a little bit soupy, like it was this morning for a few minutes in coming in. And of course, gas mileage with the all-wheel drive, a surprising upper 20s, low 30s is what you'll find. And that's just around town. Highway just a little bit better than that. And plenty of room for five, and with plenty of room in the back as well for the luggage, and even be able to put, as I said yesterday, some kayaks or canoes on top if you're going out for some summer fun at the lakes or rivers. Check out the Sunbury Motors Hyundai 2015 Tucson, the Tucson Limited from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury, and details on all the vehicles at sunburymotors.com.
Tucson's are terrific, by the way. Really, really nice. Tucson, Santa Fe's, very, very nice.
All right.
800-795-9565. The Steelers signed a dome kicker today. Fangles move.
He hasn't made the team yet.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Maybe the Steelers are putting a dome in and they just didn't tell anybody.
Let's see. We've discussed Ronda Rousey today. For whatever, you know, I listened to a little bit of talk radio today. They've talked about the movie Compton. They've talked about Ronda Rousey. I'm sitting there going, they're not talking about anything I want to hear about. And then, that's me. Now, that may be what you want to hear about. And if you want to hear about it, I understand that. We'll talk about that. But here's an issue. Well, I want to take everyone to Richard Deitch's column on SI.com on the removal of Mike Mayock as the analyst for Notre Dame football. And Doug Flutie will be the one that will be doing the games this year. I think Dan Hicks does the play-by-play. Dan Hicks is good at everything he does. Very good at everything he does. I don't care whether it's golf or football. He's very, very good. I really like Mike Mayock. But that's probably no surprise. Because Mike Mayock just talks football. And this was something where he was removed, and the philosophy of NBC comes into play here. And the Mike Mayock removal appears to be in part because he talks football. Now, maybe that's why it appeals to me. And I'm not sure. Well, I mean, we've always tried to get Mike on the show because, I mean, I just think Mike is just that good. But let's take it from the Richard Deitch column. And Deitch interviewed Mike Mayock on his latest podcast. Deitch thinks highly of Mayock's work as a football analyst. So do I. And a lot of people feel that way. And Mayock represents, according to this article, quote, the real thing. And I agree with that. Someone who was interested in football for the sake of football, not as a way to sell team apparel. The name prominently featured as one of Mayock's most dismissive critics, former NBC Sports Group chairman Dick Ebersol. Ebersol made news for expressing his displeasure with Mayock's continued and excessive use of jargon during a football broadcast, and that he prefers Doug Flutie, and what the columnist says here is villainous ice cream of football analysts. I mean, Doug Flutie's a great guy, does a good job, and Hines Ward at the halftime desk. Here's a snippet of what Mayock told Richard Deitch of SI.com. What I never want to be is a gadget or gimmick guy, Mayock said. I can have fun with heavy-legged waistbenders and all kinds of different coach or scout speak that I'm privy to. But I think the important thing is to recognize the intelligence of the audience and try to help them learn why a play worked or did not work. The jargon thing, I understand that any analyst had to speak to a level or even a person that doesn't understand that much football can understand. Whenever you get into verbiage, you have to be careful. You have to be careful about defining it efficiently and quickly. I know I talk too much sometimes. I get excited. I get carried away. I love what I do. I think it is something that I always have been aware of, but it's an incredibly difficult thing to monitor while you're on a national telecast. I think it played a part, Mayock continued, on the issue of the use of jargon. But you'd have to talk to NBC management. We had conversations, and again, I was highly respectful of what they wanted. But I also respectful of, in the mind, that there is a reason I got to where I am in doing games. I kind of have to be true to who I am. But you also have to be a communicator, and I want to make sure I'm being fair to both sides. So NBC had an opinion, which I respect. And at some point, I still had to be who I am, which is a football guy who uses some vernacular and hopefully tries to explain that. It's up to NBC if they want to sell that short. Now, Ebersol's no longer, of course, a part of NBC, but he's still very influential in what happens. And to be honest with you, you know, we were just talking about the Olympics. This relates to the Olympics. What do we see in the Olympic Games? What do we see? Tape delayed, stories, heart tuggers.
And a lot of prepackaged stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but that works with the general audience. I understand that. But I also think there's a place for the Mike Mayocks of the world. Look, when Jack Ham and I broadcast Penn State football, to be honest with you, I don't turn a lot of vernacular and phrases and things like that. I try to paint pictures with words. But Jack's the kind of analyst that, you know, he tells you why he does it in a really great way that a lot of people can understand. But he and Mike Mayock are essentially doing the same thing, except Jack doesn't use the vernacular maybe that Mike Mayock does. I mean, we do a football broadcast. We're not on there entertaining. So I understand where Mike Mayock's coming from. Yet the philosophy of the networks, in order to draw a wider audience, which is their job, it is their job to draw a wider audience. I just don't see why there's not a spot for a guy like Mike Mayock out there who's really into what's going on. And I feel like when you're done, you've learned more about the game. I always felt that the best analysts I listened to were always the ones that when the game was over, I knew more about the game. Now, I've had the privilege of sitting next to Jack now for this going to our 16th year. Every game, when it's done, I feel like I know more about the game of football sitting next to Jack. Because of SiriusXM, I get to hear a lot of different broadcasts across the country. And if you don't have the privilege of doing that, I can tell you that Jack Ham and Dick Girardi in basketball spoil you rotten. Jack and Dick spoil you rotten. I've heard enough other people around the country, I've sat back and said, you've got to be kidding me, really? These two guys, when they're done with the game, you feel like you know more about the game. There's certain analysts I've seen over time, some that have been nationally criticized and so forth. I'll give you a good example. I always felt like when the game was over, like him or not like him, I always felt like the game was over, I felt like I learned more listening to Tim McCarver. I always felt like I learned a little bit more, but I think Eddie Olczyk does a good job on that on hockey. A couple basketball guys are like that, where you feel like you learned a little bit more about the game before it's done. Steve Kerr was like that. So when Steve Kerr was doing games, felt like I learned more about the game when it was done. Miles Simon kind of does that too. Mayock's like that. When the game's over, you feel like you've learned more about the game. Every game I work with Dick Girardi basketball, feel like I've learned more about the game.
Steve, could part of it be that NBC wants to reach, because of the games being on the network and not on NBC Sports Network, they figure they're going to reach a different audience. So maybe they're thinking Mayock is a little too football for their Notre Dame audience?
While an excellent question, exactly what are they broadcasting?
I understand. I am with you, by the way, in what you're saying.
Understand your question. But what are you broadcasting?
Right, you're broadcasting a football game.
Right. Okay, so I would assume that people want to tune in to see the football game.
I think NBC is looking at this, that we have this on the network, so it's more of an event than a football game. If we had this on NBC Sports Network, then it would be a football game.
I don't see it. I completely understand what you're saying. So it has nothing to do with
right, right. I know what you're saying. You disagree with the thought process, but yeah. I got a funny feeling that's what NBC is looking at.
I mean, the Olympics are not really sports. It's programming around sports.
Well, they're covering an event that happens to be sports.
Right. And I'm not going to knock Dick Ebersol's theory because it's really worked. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It really has worked. Look at the ratings they get. Look at the passion people have about it. You know, I complain about the tape delay stuff all the time. Show it live, show it live, show it live. Yet, you know, his results show great ratings, lots of money, and he's made a ton of cash on for his network on the Olympics. So, I mean, who's going to knock Dick Ebersol for that? Nobody is. He wanted to get Sunday Night Football, said, look, we can do this, Sunday Night Football. And he made sure when he did that, he got Al Michaels in there. So, I mean,
but did you notice now how Sunday Night Football, though, feels like an event and not a football game?
No, they still do like it.
No, I'm talking about the whole picture. They have that pregame show with highlights and it's a big, you know, there's a lot of package stuff that involved in that. It's a big event. Whereas when you go to watch Monday Night Football on ESPN, it feels like SportsCenter is the lead in to a football game.
Right. All right. There's a couple things behind that. Number one, for NBC, which is the same as ESPN, but it's different than Fox and CBS. And the reason it's different is for NBC, it is the only game they have that day. So, and not only that, it's not only the only game they have that day and that weekend, besides Notre Dame. I mean, you know, and they're when Notre Dame's on the road, NBC doesn't have them. So that's the whole ball game for them. All the other games are done. So what they've done is they've taken the highlight package, which used to be ESPN. What was it called? Countdown? It was called, what was the postgame show called?
What the postgame show was.
But they had, you know.
Countdown was the pregame,
Pregame, but this was the counterpart to Countdown, the postgame part. You notice ESPN doesn't have that anymore. The Blitz or whatever it's called. Okay, they don't have that anymore. They do it within the confines of SportsCenter in snippets. That's because the NFL won't let them do the show. The NFL does not allow them to do the show. That show is now shifted to NBC. NBC's allowed to do that show. That's why you see it with Rodney Harrison, Tony Dungy, and, of course, the great job Dan Patrick does. And then you lead into the game. You're the only show in town, and not only that, but I also think that the way Michaels and Collinsworth do the game, along with Michelle DeFoya, they give great respect to the game, and it's not like Monday Night Football in the 70s where suddenly Burt Reynolds or John Lennon shows up in the booth. They've never done that with Sunday Night Football. For ESPN, it's $1.9 billion a year. $1.9 billion a year that they have to pay for Monday Night Football. So they need to sell everything they can to get the broadcast to a point of profitability. Thus, you said SportsCenter there? They got everything there because it's all being sold. You know, the Toyota pregame show, the Toyota halftime, the postgame show sponsored by whatever. Hey, that's all. I mean, that full night of Monday Night Football is all done to sell. All of it. And one of the keys with pregame and postgame shows is that you can put more commercial sponsorships into them because you have the freedom to do it. In the game, you don't have as much freedom. It's restricted to the number of timeouts. You know, obviously TV timeouts, but you're restricted on the number of TV timeouts as to how much commercial property you can put into the game itself. You have to keep the game moving. You don't have to keep the pregame show moving. And that's how they do it. And I think that because they're the only show in town, they've done a great job on Sunday Night Football of honoring the football part of it because Michaels and Collinsworth and Michelle Tafoya are outstanding at what they do. All of them are top shelf as far as I'm concerned. I think they're a great listen for the 3 to 3.5 hours that they're on. They set the scene. They get it done. They call the plays. They tell you what's going on. And it's not, oh, look, there are the three rivers. They all come together, and they, you know, the Allegheny and the Monongahela form the Ohio. Okay. Okay. Where's the field? They don't do that. They don't do that. Olympics, a little bit different. So, the Olympics are more of a primetime show that takes place, and February is really important because that's actually a sweeps month. You know, as much as I criticize no live Olympic games and things like that and so forth, you know, the prepackaged stuff works. It's like tug at the heartstrings, keep it simple. And really, you think about it. You know, you can talk about how complicated it is equipment-wise and this, but the broadcasts are really simple. All right? There's the little, there's you know, let's go to, let's pick a sport.
Well, all the camera angles are supplied by one company. You're just supplying your broadcast announcers.
Right. Yeah, but let's take a sport. Gymnastics. Here's the gymnast from the United States. Oh, you know, what a tough life she had to get to this point. Okay, let's rack up the tape, play the story. Okay, now, over the next hour or whatever, hour and a half, we're going to really focus on her and all the other American girls. And we'll throw in some of the other winners here and there. But that's what they do. It's not that complicated. It's not that, I mean, the formula is not complicated. Now, pulling off hundreds of hours of live television for 2.5 weeks, that's very, very hard. The formula, though, is not difficult. Formula for me? Easy. They point me toward the field. I talk. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Super.
Just some thoughts. I mean, I just think Mike Mayock does a really good job. I think he just gets out there and talks football. Now, that appeals to me. And I will freely admit that I'm not going to be the average viewer watching the game either. I mean, it just, you know, I think everyone knows that.
No disrespect to ESPN and the experts they have on ESPN, because they have some really good ones. But I really love draft night, watching NFL Network and watching Mayock. Everybody else is okay. I just want to watch Mayock because he's usually right on with his picks.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Really good. Philly guy, too. Philly guy. All right.
Speaking of a Philly guy, I know we're running toward the end, but I got a question today about Bradford and his knees. Not the part about not the Pope blessing his knees. No, no, this is more about a guy that's had two knee injuries. How much of a concern, with your experience in broadcasting games and being around players, can he come back from that? And is he more susceptible to injury? Is there any history to that? I mean, can you tie any history to that? Does he have a chance to make a very successful comeback?
Well, first of all, it's in 2015. It's a different question than in 1995. Because of the way they do surgery today, and they know so much more about knee surgeries now compared to 75, 85, 95. What they do now allows for quicker recovery and allows you to hold up more. And I think that's the biggest part. The advances they've made medically are incredible. I mean, my goodness, they can even do, for example, now they can do hip surgery and they can do it with a scope. I mean, remember, it was 2008, and the day after the Michigan State football game, Joe had hip surgery. It was done with a scope. I remember being at practice 2 days before the Rose Bowl, and they were practicing at the Home Depot Center down in Carson. And Joe was walking around, no golf cart, told me he felt pretty good. That's 5 weeks after he had hip surgery with a scope. Surgery's changed now completely. Rehab and knowledge of rehab has changed dramatically. I'd feel okay about where he is.